This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Resistance Fighter, an educational program from Syngenta for growers invested in managing resistant weeds and protecting the future of their operation. A lot of schools are once again closed in the Midwest, and now with the wind blowing the snow around and the temperatures diving into midweek, heck, it feels like the Midwest weather is trying to replicate some of the political relationships we're seeing in Washington, D.C.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Top Producers Horizon Award winner Tony Schwark. Machinery Pete will update us on the world of iron. And we've got Michael Clark from BAM WX for a check of the weather to answer, who's responsible for this? I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk. Chip Flory, how you doing this morning, pal?
I'm cold, my friend. I am cold. It is a little chilly out there, and we had plenty of snow overnight. Enough that with the way that the wind is blowing now, I'm sure that when you get out in the flats, it's blowing quite a bit of snow around out there in the countryside.
And it sounds a little dangerous, too. Make sure and take an extra jacket with you, extra blanket if you're traveling. Just a little extra caution in the back pocket is probably advisable here.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. It's a good idea all the way around. And it looks like on Wednesday, Davis, that is when we are heading for the coldest of the cold temperatures for the week. And we're going to find out from Michael Clark, BAMWX.com, here in just a little bit. What that looks like on the temperature scale, but I'm seeing forecasts as low as 17, 19 below real wind temperature or real temperature, and then throw on top of it the winds that are supposed to be blowing on Wednesday morning, and this looks bad. This looks really bad on Wednesday.
Well, and around
tough conditions.
Yeah, I saw the news. Looks like could be record low temperatures and record low high temperatures heading through this week through the Central Plains here.
Yeah. The record. How did you say that? The record high temperature. Yeah, the record low high temperature for the day on Wednesday.
Record low looks like and it's record gonna be low high temperature.
Yeah, yes. Looks like it's going to be like 18 below around here.
Yeah.
That's cold.
Yep.
That is cold when you don't get much of a warm up at all. It certainly is. Hey, go ahead and before we get Michael in here, tell us what's going on in the markets or the news. Jeez, sorry.
Well, Chip, the Senate and the House have approved a bill that would temporarily reopen the government for a period of 3 weeks. President Trump signed the measure on Friday, despite the fact it does not include the $5.7 billion the president has requested for building a border wall. Appropriators are scheduled to convene a conference committee to work on fiscal 2019 Homeland Security spending, which would include discussions about funding for the border barrier, but Democrats remain opposed to constructing a physical barrier between the United States and Mexico. The temporary measure would reopen the government and ensure furloughed workers receive back pay sometime this week, but unless a longer-term resolution is reached, the shutdown will resume on Feb 15. President Trump remarked, "We really have no choice but to build a powerful wall or steel barrier." He says if we don't get a fair deal from Congress, the government will either shut down on February 15th again, or I will use the powers afforded to me under the laws and the Constitution of the United States to address this emergency. Sounds like a national emergency declaration might be what he's thinking here, Chip.
It certainly does sound that way, Davis, and this has been the setup all along. And I want to talk about this a little bit in the next segment, but the distance between the points of view on where we stand right now, I've never seen such a wide disparity on any political analysis coming out of D.C. I mean, this it stretches from Pelosi basically beat up Trump and forced him into the decision that he made on Friday to President Trump has the Democrats exactly where he wants them. And how are you supposed to figure out which way things are going to roll from here when you've got that kind of a wide analysis of what has taken place coming out of the D.C. market? It's crazy to me.
Well, neither side of the debate has changed their position on border wall funding, and the partisan divide continues to loom large in the discussion. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi remarked, "Our unity is our power," and that is what maybe the president underestimated, referring to those who oppose the president. And I would just give a blanket statement that it's Democrats, but it's not just Democrats.
Right.
There are some Republicans as well that are against this, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. There are some Republicans, and that's where some of the harshest criticism is coming from, is from the alt-right or far-right is where some of the harshest criticism of Trump's agreement to restart the government for at least 3 weeks is coming from. It's not from the left.
Yep. In other news, Chinese negotiators are reportedly in Washington today making preparations for mid-level trade talks. Vice Premier Liu He and others will talk with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, among other Trump administration officials, including Secretary Steven Mnuchin. I guess I said him twice there, didn't I? Some USDA ag officials. Trade will likely be very sensitive to messages from those negotiations, as fresh, solid, reliable news has been lacking. And finally, the nation will get its first look at GDP data from the fourth quarter of 2018. The FOMC will also convene with a press conference slated for Wednesday, when Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will discuss the U.S. central bank's policy stance. And on Friday, we've got the jobs data coming out, an update there, and I'm sure that'll gather a lot of attention. Chip.
Yeah, there's no question that that will gather a lot of attention. All right, the other thing that's catching everybody's attention is this weather outlook. Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Michael, my goodness gracious. Let's start with where we are currently, but it looks like a lot of the snow is moving out of at least my area for now.
It is, yeah. It's just blasting Michigan right now, northern Indiana. Yeah. They'll get a foot of snow or more, but The dangerous part is what's drawing, you know, behind this, the Arctic front, the air that's coming in is, it'll be cold that really no one has ever felt before. That's how cold it'll be.
Nobody likes hearing that, Michael. Where is that coming from?
I mean, it's literally the polar vortex. I mean, you know, you hear that fancy term all the time on social media, but it's the coldest air on the planet, and it's coming right down into the Midwest.
Okay, so what are we looking at? What are we looking at the middle of the week in the middle of the country?
So we're looking at temperatures, winds that will be out of the northwest at 10 to 35 miles per hour. Wednesday morning, you will be waking up across the Midwest, most places, Chicago, Iowa, Minnesota, wind chills of negative 50 to negative 60 degrees. Actual air temperatures that will not get above zero for daytime highs. So you're talking about the coldest high temperatures for those days, multiple days this week. And then just adding insult to injury with that northwest wind.
Right. So we've got that strong wind coming in. But, I mean, Wednesday morning, we're looking at a low of somewhere, real air temperature, somewhere between 30 and 35 below zero.
That's correct. Yeah. I think a good safe bet is, a safe bet is negative 25, but then again, when you throw the wind chill in there, it's in minus 55. It makes it twice as bad, you know?
Yeah.
So it's serious stuff. It's something to definitely prepare for.
Yeah. And Michael, this weekend, it looks like we're getting a snap back into the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. You might even get into the 40s with a good rainstorm next week. We'll see.
My gosh, Michael. Okay, thanks, buddy. We will talk with you again later. You know what? I might have to tap you and try to get you on at the end of the week. See what the forecast looks like. Thanks, Michael. We're talking with Dane Bowers, herbicide technical product lead at Syngenta. You know, Dane, if we could just figure out when the weeds were going to turn resistant on us, that would really help us in controlling all the problems that we're dealing with out there. I understand that Syngenta has developed some kind of a model for predicting when weed resistance might develop. Share some of the details about that model with us.
Yes, Chip. This is really an exciting development. Our Syngenta scientists have developed a proprietary model And what the model is really good at is comparing the ability of various herbicide programs to delay development of resistance in weed populations. This model is really quite complex, although the output is really simple, but the model itself takes into account a lot of parameters, things such as weed biology, planting date, application dates of the herbicides, and many other factors.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Chip.
I was just going to say, when you talk about this model, how exactly does it work? I mean, what factors, what variables are you looking at?
So what we can do with this herbicide model is we can select two different herbicide programs. We can select the timing that we apply those herbicides. We can select the planting date of when we're going to plant the crop. And what this will do is it runs a simulation over a 20-year period of time, and it will tell us when resistance will develop with comparing herbicide program A to herbicide program B. And so we've verified that looking backward in time and comparing to some development of glyphosate resistance, and the model proves to be quite effective at this. So we are utilizing this now with customers to help them understand what is the best program for them to select. We can utilize this program in many different ways. What's the best timing to apply the herbicides, for example? So it's really giving us a lot of utility and helping us both in selecting new herbicides coming down the pike for growers, and as well as helping growers today to manage resistant weeds.
Yeah, when we talk about resistant weeds, I mean, the number one that comes to my mind is water hemp. I assume that we're targeting water hemp with a program like this.
That's exactly correct. The model, as it currently stands, is it's designed to be a water hemp model, although it's very applicable to looking at Palmer amaranth as well, since those two species are fairly similar. But we do have plans in the future. We really hope to expand this into some other weeds. So with some continued research, hopefully we'll have some additional weeds built into the program.
All right. That's a peek into the future right there of weed control. Thank you, Dane. That was Dane Bowers, herbicide technical product lead at Syngenta. Learn more about best practices for managing resistant weeds through their resistance fighter program from Syngenta.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Commodity Classic is the place to network with others.
I also love the innovation and the excitement here. My favorite thing is the networking, though. I love making relationships with the vendors at the booths, the growers from around the country. It's great because you can take that home and continue to draw on those resources when you're back at the farm.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is.
Oh, Ed, look, it's Credenz Liberty Link GT27.
I know, Adna. He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new...
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Yeah, so Davis, here I am. I'm still trying to recover from what Michael just said. Cold temperatures. Cold temperatures.
Awful.
Cold temperatures we have never experienced before. What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
No, there's been times where we have experienced conditions like this before. There was a time that it was in February. I was in Louisville doing the National Farm Machinery Show. Okay. And it was about 75 degrees real temperature in February at the National Farm Machinery Show. Middle of February. It was the best weather that I've ever seen for the National Farm Machinery Show. And I've been there several times. Okay. I had to get on a plane.
Okay.
I had to get on a plane and go to Grand Forks, North Dakota from Louisville. Got on that plane. And as I'm flying, the attendants and even the pilots were making comments about, boy, I hope you guys realize what we're getting ourselves into here. As we were getting ready to land in Grand Forks, the pilot came on and said that the air temperature was 22 below, the wind was blowing, and the wind chill was 75 below. So in a flight that, okay, it stopped in Minneapolis, but in a flight, I went from 75 degrees real air temperature to 75 below wind chill in just a matter of hours. That was a little hard to
take. That's quite the swing. Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Well, hopefully we can flee this cold weather. I haven't seen the forecast for down south. Have you?
No. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm sure that it's not going to be anything spectacular. Because if you've looked at what's going on with the temperature outlook for the entire middle of the country, this polar vortex is driving deep down into the middle of the country, and I'm sure that it's going to include where we're supposed to be at the end of this week, which is New Orleans at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association meeting.
That's right. Well, so, for my part, I've sent the children over to the lake to see if they can hunt up some seals.
Yeah.
We're going to have a supper of some seal blubber. Take a cue from our Inuit friends.
Sure.
We'll be crafting mittens and boots from seal. And so I'm looking forward to that little family craft time to try and keep us warm here in this this little stretch.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, just keep watching out for the cracks in the igloo. You'll be just fine.
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about these reports. And let's talk a little bit about what happened last week with President Trump agreeing to reopen the government for 21 days, 3 weeks, get us to February 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said at the start of the show, the divide, the chasm between the takes or the read or the spin on what has happened in Washington, D.C. with President Trump's decision to reopen the government, I don't think I've ever seen the divide as wide on the spin cycle as what it is right now. This is just astonishing to me. On one hand, you've got some of the harshest criticism coming from the far right saying President Trump gave in to Nancy Pelosi. Welcome to the weakest presidency in the history of the United States. On the other side of it, you've got those that are in the middle of the road saying, you know what? To negotiate, you have to give and take. And this could just be part of President Trump's initial give. In return, he is expecting some give back in his direction so that he can actually get some take out of all of this.
Well, and last week you were talking about Trump's comments about the whole thing as he came out and spoke and mentioned that you didn't really feel like he had given a victory lap kind of a speech.
Right.
I think Pelosi's taken that victory lap with her quote this morning that I read in the news, "Our unity is our power." Well, shouldn't that include our entire nation rather than just a small group of representatives?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that what true unity would be? Isn't that where?
Yeah. Absolutely, Davis. I am in complete agreement on that. And not only did Pelosi take her victory lap, it didn't happen just this morning. It happened over the weekend. Chuck Schumer over the weekend said something about he hoped that President Trump has learned his lesson.
Yes, I
better
saw that
be careful,
too.
Chuck.
A scolding from the Democratic leadership.
You better be careful there, Senator Schumer, because that may come back on you at some point. And I don't think you want to be in a position that you are that you're asking for it. You don't want to be in that position with this president, because this president will find a way, one way or another, to get things done that he wants to get things that he wants to get done, and including
he's proven that
wall. Yeah, and I'm not picking sides here, guys. I am not picking sides one way or the other. I am just talking matter-of-factly. This is how it is. He has found ways to get things done. He probably is going to find a way to get this done as well. So,
yeah.
Hey, we've got Randy on the line. He wants to talk a little bit more about the weather. Randy, welcome to AgriTalk. How you doing today?
Oh, it feels good today. It's zero. yesterday morning it was 24 below.
Wow.
Saturday we had a high of 13 below. They're talking 25, 24 below for a high tomorrow.
Right.
And like 37 below, maybe 40 below tomorrow night.
Yeah, for the low. So where are you at, Randy? Are you it looks to me like you're up even north of Grand Forks.
I'm 60 miles northeast of Grand Forks.
Wow. So if you're up on top of the grain bin, you can probably see Canada from where you're at.
Probably.
Yeah.
I know we can, most nights we can see the lights from Winnipeg.
Sure.
In the sky.
Sure.
1996, I believe it was.
Okay.
We had a horrible winter, and it might have been 97. We had two horrible winters in a row. Yep. And that's when Grand Forks flooded in 97, spring. We had one day it was 54 below for a low air temp, and next day it was 52.
Right.
That's the coldest I've seen. I've lived here since 1973.
Okay. Yeah, and I believe it was 1996 that we're thinking about here, Randy, because I remember the drive to work one morning, it was 34 below on the truck thermometer, and I'm sure it was 1996 because I've looked it up in my notes. So
I'm not sure. The car I drive now, I work over at the sugar beet plant in Drayton, North Dakota.
Yeah.
And Saturday morning, my car said 31, and I'm thinking it don't go any lower because I've never, since I owned the car for 3 years, I've never seen it go below 31.
Oh, that's a programming flaw right there, Randy. Well, you'll have to test it on Wednesday morning and see what happens.
Yeah.
All right,
but now
sir.
We're talking, they're saying Saturday, high of 29 above.
Yeah.
So we're going to go 70-degree swing on these cattle.
Right.
From tomorrow till Saturday.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
I got 75 beef cows.
Yep. And Randy, down here, we're supposed to be in the mid-30s, maybe even upper 30s, and getting rain on Saturday and Sunday. That's going to be any of the livestock that are outdoors, that's going to be tough on those critters. Jeez.
Yeah. We got about 8 inches of snow yesterday.
Wow. Okay. All right, Randy. Hey, we got to go. We're coming up on a break here, but thank you so much for
the call,
and be safe out there.
Yep.
All right. That's Randy Collin from Northwest Minnesota. Good grief, Davis. Looking at some really tough conditions. Real quick, before we get to the conversation with Machinery Pete in the next segment, the reports, the USDA reports, I haven't seen any of the daily export sales report data come through yet. I don't know. Did you see any?
I haven't seen any of the daily stuff come through.
Okay. Yeah, it's something that I think
it's not on my typical rabbit trail. So
okay, I think that's something that we're going to have to wait on. We may just have to wait until the Thursday weekly export sales report. And at this point, I would say that it's going to take at least two of the weekly export sales reports, maybe even three of the weekly export sales reports to get everything caught up. Because when you look back at how they handled it in 2013, even then, when it was a you know, what was it, a 21-day shutdown, even then it took a couple of weeks to get caught up on the export sales reports. February 8th, we're going to get the supply and demand report from USDA. That's for the February update, and it is going to include the January supply and demand changes as well. It's kind of like what we talked about last week to expect. What we don't know for sure yet is when the annual production summary, the quarterly grain stocks report, and the winter wheat seedings report is going to be out. We'll talk with Greg next.
As a farmer, you're challenged to be more efficient with every seed, every season. To work smarter for a greater return on investment. Precision planting sensors and control systems account for the changing environments throughout your field so you can execute every pass with more accuracy, all with the equipment you already own. Precision planting, smarter every season. Find out more about precision planting at precisionplanting.com.
Use Radiate to give back to your crop's roots and pay it forward for generations to come. Radiate is the only root stimulant that can drive maximum root growth in all crops while growing the roots of all the young future farmers of America across the country. By using Radiate on your farm, you're helping Nutrien Ag Solutions give back to FFA and give back to the roots our crops and communities are built on. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant for details about Radiate's give back program or learn more at RadiateRoots.com. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, got some pressure on corn and soybean prices this morning, huh?
Yeah, we do, Chip. You know, I think a lot of it is just uncertainty what's going to happen with the U.S.-China trade talks that'll happen this week. High-level talks are scheduled for the 30th and 31st. So, you know, preliminary negotiations and talks ahead of that. But the real talks get going on the 30th and 31st. We did have some rains through areas of Brazil over the weekend. That's lending a little bit of light pressure as well. You know, but nothing too significant, and the overall dry pattern remains intact down there. So, yeah, I think it's just a pullback at this point in time. It is impacting the corn market as well, and wheat, it was higher overnight, but it's now pulled back as well.
Yeah, this market, it's just, it feels like it's headline driven on one hand, Brian, but then you get those rains in Brazil and it pulls things back a little bit. So maybe it is a supply side market.
Well, a little bit of both. The government reopening should help us once we start to get some of that data out. You know, so far, just the export inspections, which we've been getting on a regular basis. Yeah. What they really want is the export sales to see how much China actually bought when the government was shut down. And then the report data from January 11th, you know, the annual production summary, winter wheat seedings, and December 1 stocks. I think those numbers all have the chance to potentially move the market.
Exactly. A little bit of strength in cattle real quick.
Yeah, cash market last week was a little bit disappointing, but I think that they, you know, realize that feedlot conditions are poor, and as a result, seller interest is limited. Mixed trade in hogs so far this morning.
Good stuff. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson by my side. Joining us,
you bet,
is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing just fine. I keep wondering, have you got anything on the agenda or on the schedule for Wednesday morning someplace?
You know, I almost want to find an auction just to go out and
don't you?
Feel what 55 below windshield feels like again. It's been a while since we've had it, but no, yeah. I'm planning on staying in, Jim.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Good plan. Unfortunately, Davis and I have got to be making our way down to New Orleans. I looked at the forecast map, and it looked like about 50 degrees down in New Orleans on Thursday when we're there, Davis. How's that sound? Great, huh?
That'll be just fine. That'll be just fine. Much better than here.
Yes, that's right. All right. Hey, let's get into it, Greg. Let's start with the big one, Pete's Pick of the Week.
Machinery Pete's Pick of the Week is brought to you by MachineFinder.com. Where can you find the most comprehensive inventory of John Deere certified pre-owned tractors, combines, and sprayers? MachineFinder.com. Sometimes the best new addition to your fleet isn't new.
This one I love, Greg, because it was March or April? Something like that. You and I were having a conversation about the demand for cotton pickers, strippers down in the Southwest U.S. And you've got a sale to report on.
Yeah, I figured it would be sort of timely too, Chip, for those of us who can't drive to New Orleans this week. We can at least talk about southern climates. But it was a farm auction Friday in Dimmit, Texas, which is way up in the northwest part of the state.
Yeah,
and an item that revolutionized the cotton business. It was a John Deere CS690 cotton stripper, and they had a 2016 model on the sale, a little over 700 engine hours. It was a nice sale, and it brought $550,000 hard cash. Jeez. On this auction. Now, I remember when we were talking back in the spring, Chip. I'd been down filming with U.S. Farm Report and Tyne Morgan down there talking about these cotton stripper machines and the demand for them. And one dealer actually told us they had a lottery system.
Yes.
So when one came in on trade, they already had 10 local farmers that were like, hey, you get one in, I want it. Well,
right.
That dealer had a steak fry for the 20 people on the list, and they came and drew like a ping pong ball. And that guy got to write the check for, $500,000-$600K. But it shows you the demand on these things. So proof here, $550 hard cash, pretty strong stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. And it is amazing to me. And those of you that are familiar with my big picture global grain, oilseed, cotton market outlook, know that I point to that cotton market and the way that we, for four consecutive years now, have used more cotton around the globe than we've produced. And that's giving some support to this market and at least giving us an opportunity for some profitable prices. We got 74-cent DEES 19 cotton futures right now. That's not going to be the high of the year, but it's that underlying demand in this market and the opportunity that we see not only for the year ahead, but for the years ahead, that's driving the demand for equipment like this, Greg. I think it's a fascinating story that we're seeing in those cotton strippers.
Yeah, it is, Chip. And one other sign of that, sure sign of that, is the outreach I've got from farmers in Kansas the past year that have reached out asking me, hey, Pete, you know, these were guys back again earlier this year, like, hey, we're flipping acres into cotton, and we need some help finding stuff, and what's this stuff worth? Yeah. And again, some of the dealers we talk with down there, yeah, it's good to see some positivity in some of the markets out there.
Right. Right, absolutely. And you and I have talked about this several times, but anytime that you get a hint of a more optimistic tone for any of the markets, it is reflected in that used machinery market pretty darn quick.
Oh, it's immediate. In fact, yeah. I do a quarterly report for Wall Street folks, and you know, I love the sentiment index. Our friends at Purdue, Jim over there, it's fantastic, and all the, you know, the survey type stuff. But really, any of that, it all trails the hard cash auction market, because when that cotton stripper went up for sale Friday, and it's going home with a new buyer, and checkbooks are out, what's this thing worth? And when it goes 550 hard cash, that just tells you what the scoop is. So auction is always, I think, the leading indicator, even of new equipment sales. All across farm equipment.
Yeah. Great stuff. Okay. Head over to Tennessee. What happened over there?
Yeah, a couple nice sales again if we stay in the south, Southland end of last week, Chip. Friday in northwest Tennessee, this was a sale our friends at DeWitt Auction Company had. Some nice Case IH equipment, a little higher hour, but very nice. I talked to the owner, Daryl Lowry, before the sale and after, and Daryl sent me a text. He was overjoyed with these prices. They had a Case IH Patriot 3330 sprayer, almost 2,300 hours. That sold for $91,000.
Okay.
They had an 03 Case IH MX285, just over 5,400 hours at $52,000. Combine, they had a Case IH 8120, just shy of 2,800 engine hours. That sold for $80,000. And when I looked at those prices, Chip, given the hours, when I would compare them out, they were very favorable to similar hour machines sold up in the Midwest. Okay. So again, pretty strong stuff there in Tennessee, given those hours. But it was clean stuff, which, again, that's the key these days.
Right. And am I reading your notes right, that you saw the first S770 combine sold that you've seen at auction?
Yeah, I did. It was
Where was that?
It was in northeast Arkansas, Harrisburg, Arkansas, on Friday, same day as the Tennessee auction, Chip. There were two 2018 S770 combines. And again, like you say, I have not seen any of those sold at auction yet, so I was really interested. The higher price one at 235 engine hours sold for $320,000, hard cash, no heads. The second machine, 249 engine hours, sold for $290,000. So we posted that on our Machine Repeat website and social media outlets. And, you know, there's always commentary, some people saying, oh my gosh, that's really light. But I looked, and the current average dealer advertised price on a 2018 John Deere S770 this morning, Chip, is $344,346. So when that the one of them for $320,000, that is not far off the average asking price. So really, and it was interesting because that was in Arkansas, and somebody asked me last week, Machine Repeat, are there any soft spots geographically? And I hesitate to call areas out, but Arkansas has been a little bit lighter. Okay. So two of these combines, I thought, you know, they did okay.
Yeah. It sure sounds like it. And they had a heck of a lineup of the 8295R tractors.
Oh, it was unbelievable, Chip. They had six 2017 model 8295Rs.
That's a market test in itself right there, Greg. Oh,
it's unbelievable. And the hour ranges, folks, were 322 hours up to 532. And the hard cash auction prices went from a high of 193 down to 187. So pretty tight pattern And again, that's in an area that's been a little struggle there. But that auction tip, that is, I mean, it's a little bit unusual that you'd have, you know, sure, that scale, but not unusual in that we're seeing so many farm auctions the last 18 months with so much late model equipment like this. Yeah. And it's really unlike anything I've seen in 29 years.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that's, and this could go unsaid, but one of the things that's holding those prices up is I'm sure that there's some warranty that's coming along with it, no doubt.
Oh, warranty's huge, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, hey, what happened on Saturday's show?
Well, our TV show, our Machine Repeat TV show, first time we've ever done this, Chip. We did a special. Kind of we picked our top 10 things we've seen sold in six seasons of Machine Repeat TV. Saturday, we started the countdown, number 10 to number 6, and also my top 10 favorite YouTube videos, 10 years of posting 1,400 videos, kind of the backstory on my favorite videos there. So if you want to watch this, folks, just go to machinerypeat.com. Up in the corner, there's a little TV logo. You click it, you can watch it right online. It's pretty fun.
1,400 YouTube videos, and you're picking the top 10. Awesome.
That was tough. That was a tough
choice. Good for you.
Choice, but I had a lot of fun.
Oh, man. What's happening on the site? Well, you got any special things that are catching your eye there?
Yeah, I'm going to post something this afternoon, Chip. Folks, you're going to want to see this one. It's one of our for sale by owner tractors that was just listed at machinerypeat.com. And it is a 1986 Tiger 4 KP525. So a big boy.
Wow.
It's over 30 years old. Completely rebuilt. I mean, everything. Chip, they sent the Cummins engine to a Cummins shop, new AC, new tires, LED lights on this thing, and it's in Lisbon, Ohio, and the owner is Drew Van Skoy, and he's selling this thing, so I'll post the picture and the story on it on our Facebook and Twitter this afternoon, but again, really want to thank folks for listing your items for sale with us. We want to help you, you know, try and find the right buyer out there.
It sounds like they're trying to make that one better than new.
Well, they are,
you know?
And I posted a similar one on a Big Bud this week from Iowa, Chip, actually this weekend. It was a Big Bud 525-50, and it, again, completely rebuilt.
Right.
And it was interesting, the comments on it. People were saying just what you did. They were like, Pete, that's an older tractor, but like new, so really, really fun stuff.
All right. Hey, you're heading for Des Moines?
Yep, I'll be down at the Iowa Power Farm Show tomorrow, wandering around. So, folks, if you're out at the show, track me down.
You know they will, right?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
That we want to share.
Oh, have fun in Des Moines, Greg. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you, Chip.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
When we talk about different things that farmers use out there, they'll be particular about this, they'll be particular about that, but when it comes to what they're putting in their tractor, they want to make sure that it's high-grade stuff. We're going to talk with Ron Jessen, Product Management and Business Development for CHS, about diesel fuel. Tell me, developments in diesel fuel, what's going on?
Well, when we look at the technology and the advancement that we've made in that diesel engine, it's just incredible. And that's due to a couple different things. Some of the EPA regulations, anything to meet the demands of today diesel engines. What we sometimes forget about, though, is we see the changes in the diesel engine, but it really is putting some stress on that diesel fuel. So we really have to make sure that we've got that diesel fuel will stand up to the demands of that diesel engine.
And when we talk about standing up to the demands of that diesel engine, isn't diesel diesel? Can't we just dump it in and go?
I made that conversation with one of the folks from one of the dealerships, and she just kind of smiled at me, and she said that probably worked on Grandpa's 4020, but it no longer works today. We look at the demands. First of all, if you look at that diesel engine, in order to get the fuel economy that we're getting today, which is great, we're getting some great fuel economy, we're getting a reduction in emissions, but in order to do that, we've had to increase the spray and really atomize that spray pattern that's in there. With that, unfortunately, comes with some heat. And so when we look at patterns of the spray pattern of that injector inside, has to be a very atomized spray pattern. And so when we look at the pressure itself, can get up to about 35,000 PSI. And if you think about 35,000 PSI, a really good power washer is about 1,200.
Yeah.
So you think of 35,000 PSI as generating heat, and what's happening is that fuel is literally cooking on top of the injectors there. And so what's happening is once that it begins to cook, it comes back as some black debris that's coming back into the fuel tank.
We're talking diesel fuel with Ron Jessen, Product Management and Business Development in the Refined Fuels Market at CHS.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Mother Nature is going to do just that, isn't it, Davis?
Yeah, it certainly is. Doesn't sound like old Pete's too afraid of the weather, though. He'd like to be out there and see what happens.
Yeah, it says let's go ahead and get out there in that 55 below wind chill, just see what it's all about out there. Yeah, no.
I say let's not.
Let's not. You know, people were a little concerned about you over the weekend, though, living under that bridge, Davis. Is everything okay?
It's warmer than you might think under a bridge. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we've got very good infrastructure over here in my beloved hometown. And
Yeah,
I'm nice and toasty warm under here. It feels good.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Let's get into a conversation now with the 2019 Top Producer Horizon Award winner, Tony Schwark. Tony, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. It's an honor to be on AgriTalk this morning.
Well, good. And what an honor being awarded the Top Producer Horizon Award winner, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's been a great experience and a lot of fun at the same time.
Well, Tony, before we get into your operation and so on, tell us about your family.
My wife Erica and I have a 2-year-old daughter, Annalie. We've been married 5 years now, and she works right alongside us. And Annalie, she's kind of looking like she shares a passion of livestock too. So that's exciting. But we just have one job. So
right, that's right. Okay, let's talk about the operation. You're fourth generation on the farm. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. So tell us about how the farm got started and where it is right now and where you hope to take it.
Well, my grandfather, Chris, he kind of pioneered where we're at. He moved up here as a young man and settled just south of Riceville where our homestead is. My father, he took over too. He started farming right out of high school and made a successful career of it. And that's kind of where same footsteps I followed in, right out of high school. They brought me into the operation and we were strictly a row crop operation at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the years went on, we needed to diversify, and that's exactly what we did. My wife, Eric, and I, in 2013, we started a beef finishing operation and we had no idea we were going to grow at the pace we did, but one thing led to the other, and here we are.
Right. You know, the bringing another generation in, Tony, and diversifying the farm to give it some more revenue-generating ability, that's not unusual in the state of Iowa. But, gosh, what would it be? 95% of them would choose to put up a hog building, Tony, and you decided to go with cattle. Why?
Well, we looked at the hog buildings, and they're a great opportunity, but they didn't. We had I was looking at an aspect of our operation that a hog building wouldn't fix, and that was utilizing our homegrown corn. If we would have put up the hog building, they'd bring us the feed, and this, you know, we're able to bring in our corn and feed it to our livestock, and it's added value to our row crop. It's added value to our acre of corn, and that's why we went to the beef finishing. And also, I got a brother that he's passionate about life or beef cattle in general. And you know, he and I sat down and we got a plan together to do this, and that's why we went with the cattle side.
Yeah. Well, you got to have somebody around that's passionate about cattle, or you're probably not going to have them around, Tony.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's where I'm lucky. I'm surrounded by people. I got a brother I talk to at them, but, you know, I'm surrounded by people that they are passionate about the cattle, and that's where a lot of our success has been.
Well, and what you've got going on right now on your operation, Tony, it's kind of the whole circle of life thing, because you got the corn, you feed the cattle, you make the beef, you sell the beef, and the cattle give you the manure back so that you can make more corn.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's the kind of efficiency that a lot of people are striving for out there.
Well, I kind of put a word to it, a word that's being thrown around a lot. You'll recognize this is sustainability. And
yeah,
that whole system you just stated, to me, that is our sustainability on this farm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is a word that more and more people want associated. People that have no idea with how their hamburgers are made, Tony, but they still want that word sustainability somehow, some way tied to the food that they're eating. And you're doing it, man. You're doing it in a big way. So what do you got planned next for your operation?
Well, you know, we've grown pretty fast. I think now it's time, I'm going to start managing things a little differently. We got the volume on both the row crop side now and on the finishing side. So now it's about tweaking the operations so we're getting the most out of both. That's kind of, we're going into some challenging time. So it's, I think my time's going to be best spent behind the desk pushing a pencil here going into spring.
Gotcha.
That's where my focus is going to be. Gotcha. Trying to make 2019 successful.
Yeah, Tony, one of the things that impressed me a lot about your story is what you're doing now to support the community. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my grandfather's made it, you know, he's led by a good example, and every year, he started this several years ago, every year he likes to give a donation to somebody that he thinks could use it, and two years ago, he made a donation to the Hormel Institution for Cancer Research, and last year, he decided that, you know, the Riceville FFA Institution was going to be who, so that's kind of what we've taken a in our own smaller operation, we've taken that same stance, and we're donating every year. We're doing the same thing and giving back, and because without the local communities, we don't have a lot. So
that's right.
That's right. We want to.
Good on you, Tony. Good stuff right there. Tony, congratulations again. We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well. That is Tony Schwark. He is the Horizon Award winner at Top Producer Summit this year. Congratulations,
Tony. Tony's got the right idea. Stick behind that desk and push that pencil and get some stuff figured out while this weather is so cold.
Yes, he does. All right. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Thanks to Michael Clark. Thanks to Greg Peterson. Come back this afternoon. We're going to talk with Ken Beadle from CHS.
Commodity Classic is the place to become an even smarter farmer.
I came here to learn, so if you're going to learn, you got to be out here. You just got to listen and apply it. I'm not a real smart guy, but I'm smart enough to know if I want to grow 300 bushels of corn, I go talk to the guy that's growing 500 bushels of corn.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Thanks to the Resistance Fighter Program from Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. Visit resistancefighter.com and talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative about how to best manage resistant weeds.